Please open to hymn number 429, and we will sing the first two stanzas. Please stand. Now to hymn 498. One of the themes that we have focused on this week has been that theme of human incredulity when faced with the concept of the forgiveness of sins. We, of course, speak of the forgiveness of sins constantly in the church, and so much so that it is, of course, a part of the fiber of our very being as Christians. But the notion, the genuine notion that all of the evil inside us can be unlocked, put on God's shoulders, and taken away from us is really quite incredible. Hymn 498 was written by a fellow by the name of John Donne. You can see his name up there and how it's spelled and when he lived. Died in the year 1631. John Donne was one of our great, great English Protestant poets. And this particular poem was called A Hymn to God the Father. That's, if you check that out on Wikipedia, you'll find the text, you'll find more about it. And it's a pretty famous poem. And in our hymn book, actually, every hymn, of course, is a poem, but it's not often that the poetry of hymnody rises to the great heights of literature. To be sure, there are times when hymn writers use turns of phrases and things like that that are enduring and important. But in this particular case, we have something that was not necessarily written as a congregational hymn. It was more of a personal confession, a personal, very, very personal poem. And you see his name, having the name Donne, which is a fortunate name because it rhymes with lots of things. And it also means a number of things. To be done is to be finished, to be complete. And what he does in this particular text is that he looks back on his life as it has been to this point, and apparently was written in the throes of a pretty bad situation. John Donne had issues with sex. He was probably, if we were to classify him today, he was a sex addict. Not necessarily perverted, but he was heavy into this. He was a womanizer. After chapel, if you call him up on Wikipedia, we have a portrait of him as a fairly young man, very rakish-looking rogue. And you can see in his eyes, even in that portrait, that this is a fellow who had a way with women. He was married. He did finally get married, and he was married for 16 years, and those 16 years of marriage produced 12 children. His wife, when she died at the end of the marriage, she died in childbirth. So he was a busy man. anyway, this particular situation was the result of an adulterous situation that he had had in his own life. He was a pastor. So this was a problem, and he realized that. And he's given us lots of great poetry. Not everything is fixated on this particular topic. But this is a very, very clever poem because the way he uses his last name. And I'm going to read it to you a little bit with a little bit of commentary, because this is not a text that you can sing through once and understand it's completely. It's a little bit thorny. So he starts out, "Wilt thou forgive that sin where I begun, which is my sin, though it were done before?" Question mark. Here he is asking about original sin, the sin with that he was born with. Then he goes on, speaking about actual sins. "Wilt thou forgive those sins through which I run, and do run still, though still I do deplore?" And there he echoes St. Paul, when Paul says, "The good that I would do, I don't do, and that which I wouldn't do, that I do. What sort of wretched man am I?" It's the conundrum. Every honest person has this conundrum. Every honest Christian has this conundrum. Not that we're supposed to go out and be rampant, crazy sinners just to prove the point. That's not the point here. But the point is, if we look inside ourselves, we've got this. It's just things that grab a hold of us and don't let go. "When thou hast done, thou hast not done, for I have more." And so in both of those cases, he's referring to the work of God in Christ, and he's referring to himself when he talks to God. "Yes, you have me when thou hast done. You have me by the waters of baptism, and you have forgiven me." So it's a double meaning there. "But still, thou hast not done. Despite the grace that's in my life, you still don't have me, because I'm still going to do this. I'm still going to continue sinning. Even the best resolves in the world will not fix that, for I have more." Second verse. "Wilt thou forgive that sin by which I've won others to sin and made my sin their door?" That's quite an amazing question. Because if we look at, again, at our own lives, and we sin alone, sure, but there's a lot of time that our sins involve other people, becomes the door through which they also then participate in sin. In the case of adultery, that's obvious, but it's not just that. Think of the other sins, the sins of gossip, the sins of stealing, the sins of ruining one another's reputation. Those things are rarely done by ourselves. It's no fun to gossip by yourself. Have you ever noticed that? It's strange and pointless. And he asks again. These are all rhetorical questions, of course, because he knows the answer. "Wilt thou forgive that sin which I did shun a year or two?" Boy, I'm doing a great job. "For a year or two now I've been clean, but I wallowed in it for a score, 20 years. Will you forgive that sin?" And he goes on, then the refrain comes back. "When thou hast done, thou hast not done, for I have more." And then the final verse talks about the sin of doubt, which when we face death is certainly a natural reaction. Is this really true? "I have a sin of fear that when I've spun my last thread, I shall perish on that shore." And here, like Jacob, now he wrestles with God. "Swear by thyself that at my death thy son," and here he's using that word in two ways too, "swear by thyself that at my death thy son shall shine as he shines now and heretofore." So finally he looks to Christ. "And having done that, thou hast done, I fear no more." It's quite a text, quite a text. And it's an interesting tune that goes with it too. Not necessarily well suited to congregational singing, but we're going to give it our best shot. So let's start on the second page, the second line.